it on? It's on now? Okay, all right. Luke 22, verse 31 through 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. We want to take that verse again, verse 32. He said, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I want to preach on the title of a message, New Chapters. New Chapters. Pastor Devin Shires, please pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, sir. As the biographies of our lives are written, all of us have chapters in our lives that we would rather forget. The things in our lives that we would rather be erased. Mistakes. Failures. Something that is embarrassing. Something that we have done where we say, I wish that that never happened. But thank God that there is God there to turn the pages of our lives. Thank God that it is not over after that failure. Thank God that we can keep on going, that he can write a new chapter in our lives so that we can have life and keep on living for him. The story is not over. And for Peter, preaching about Peter tonight, Peter was a man who was privileged to have a new chapter written in his life. Jesus gave him a new name. He gave him a new job. He got new insight, and a new chapter was written for him. Yes, he had failed, but God turned the pages of his life. His story did not end, and our story does not end either. The Bible tells us he was converted, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was a new threat to the kingdom of Satan. And so we can go forward doing the same thing. First, the new name. The new name. We know that this was a disciple who was well known. He was best known for two things. His impulsiveness, which meant that he would act without thinking, and his mouth. That he would just go on and just say whatever, whether it was the right thing or whether sometimes it was the wrong thing. And we all, amen, we all have some Peter inside of us. There's all of us that have done something without thinking, have moved without thinking, have gone somewhere, done something, said something, and did not think at all, and wish we could go back and get the remote and push rewind and say, blah, 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 blah. Can I do that again? Can I say that again? Can we go back and redo this and rewind this? It's a lot of times where we open mouth and insert foot. The only difference between us and Peter is that his failures were written down in a book for everybody to read. For years and years going on, people have been reading about Peter. But what do you think about when you first think of Peter? Is it his failure or his going forward? What do you think about how he failed or how he went down or how he went forward? And a lot of times we may look at somebody's life. You may think about them, and sometimes the first thing that happens, you think about their failure. Maybe you look at the Bible, or you look at Jonah, and think about this man who had walked away and ran from the call of God. But sometimes we forget that he went and he fulfilled the call of God. He went out there to that place. He went out there and preached the word that God wanted him to. And the Bible says that the whole city repented. We think sometimes about Rahab. And you think first thing you think is Rahab the harlot, associated her with that. But we know that she got it right. We know that everything got to where she was actually helping out the people of God. And she ended up being the great, great grandmother of David, where Jesus Christ would come from. Then there was John Mark. John Mark, the Bible tells us that he quit the ministry on Paul and Barnabas. But later on, it says that Paul was calling for him to come back. Why? Because he said he's profitable to me for the ministry. And we know and understand that he wrote the gospel according to Mark. And so that failure is just an incident. That failure is not a label. It's not that something that I put upon myself and say I'm a failure. No, you can keep on going. There's success behind that failure. There's something there behind that failure. I can go forward. I can live for God. I can have a different life because it's not over just because of failure. So God, he sees something in us. That's why he comes by our way. He sees something in us. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He sees something in us when maybe the world does not see something. When the world casts us aside, God comes by the garbage heap of this world, and he picks us up, and he looks at us, and he sees the image of his son that could be inside of us. He sees that image of his son, and he starts to go to work. The same thing he did with Peter. The same thing as Peter got a new name. Simon, that was his name at first. Simon, that word in the Hebrew, that was Simeon. That was Simeon. In the Greek, it was Simon. One man said that it meant flaky leaf. Flaky leaf, driven with the wind and tossed to all sorts of different directions. Flaky leaf. But what do we see in the word of God that Jesus said unto him? He gave him a different name, and he called him Simon. Simon, and then he called him Peter. John chapter 1, verse 42, and he, which is Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Just as a side note, there's no Peter without Andrew. Somebody's got to bring somebody to Jesus. It's about soul winning. It's about going out and reaching somebody else and bringing them to God. And so without Andrew, there's no Peter. Without the certain disciples, without somebody in our lives, there's no one. If no one had invited me out back there in 1999, if nobody had invited me out to church, where would I be today? It takes a soul winner, somebody to go out and to give their time on a Saturday or during the week, somebody to go out and say, I've got a burden for souls. I want to reach somebody for God. It takes that. Thank God for an Andrew that brought Peter to Jesus. Amen. But Jesus said, thou art Simon. You're the flaky leaf. You're the son of Jonah, but thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Why? Why did he do that? Because God sees things not as they are, but as they can be. God sees things as they can be. And so this name was a prophecy about his life and about his ministry, about exactly what he would be. About that, as we were having fun Thursday, just after the service, and we were out there having fun, and we were trying to do these different things and get the prizes. And one of the things that we did was that we played rock, paper, scissors. Play rock, paper, scissors, all right? So you go, got the scissors, the paper, then the rock, all right? And Sister Annie reminded me, Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock, amen? Jesus is the rock, and he outweighs everything. Jesus beats everything. Jesus said, okay, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said that I'm the rock. Peter wasn't the rock, but he was Cephas. That meant a stone. That meant that he was part of the rock. He was a chip off the old block. That meant that he resembled Christ. God wants us to resemble Christ. He wants us to be just like his son. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to keep on going. He wants us to live for him and show the world. This is what happens when God comes into your life. There will be victory. Victory over sin, Satan, and self. It's victory. And what did he say? Peter said what? We are living stones. We are living stones. And so you get a new name when you become a Christian. You get a new name too. You don't have to be flaky. You don't have to be leafy. You don't have to flow around and doing what everybody else is doing, whatever the world says and whatever the fads are. Hey, I'm going to wear the tight skinny jeans. Hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to put this on. I'm going to color my hair. I'm going to tattoo my face. You don't have to do any of that. When you're living in God, you can be a lively stone. You can be one just like Peter. You can be part of the rock. So we want to be rock solid in Jesus Christ. And so on the Bible and the Gospels, you read about this time and time again. Read the Gospels and read that Jesus keeps calling him Peter. He keeps calling him Peter. Why? Because he said, I'm going to keep calling him that. I want to keep calling him that until I see the rock in him, until I see the success in him. I'm going to keep calling him Peter. I'm going to keep pushing that in. I'm going to keep pushing it in his mind. You can do it. That's why we come to the house of God. You hear about the success. You hear about hope. You hear about victory. Maybe you don't see it right now, but God sees it for your life. You can have it. It's there for you. Just keep on pressing on. Man. So that was his new name. And then he got a new job. He got a new job. He started out as a fisherman. Like many boys, he had a normal education. He lived by the shores of Galilee. And so he went into the fishing business. And there he was out there minding his own business. And Jesus encountered him while he was fishing. And so he gave him a new commission. And remember that as they were there, Jesus was out there preaching at the shore. He got into Peter's boat. He got into Peter's boat and he said, launch out a little bit from the land. And that's something that we have to do. We have to get away from the shallow waters. We only want to come and we want to dip our feet in just a little bit. We want to just get a little bit and say, I don't want to get too far in. I don't want to get too close to God now that somebody might notice that. Somebody might see me changing. Somebody might say something about it. He said, Jesus said, get a little bit farther out. Get farther out there. I want you to get deep. I want to get away. I want to take you away from all these other things that you know. I want you to know something better. I want you to know something deeper, that there's something deeper in God, that there's something much better, deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Daily let me go higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. There's so much more to learn, so much more to get into. We come to the Bible study and I appreciate Pastor Devonshire so much about the Bible study and the wisdom and the application that we can put forth in our lives. And so we come. It should be a regular part of our schedule. And we ought to make time for that. We make time for everything else. And we do what we want to do. We get all those other things in. Let's get in Bible study. Let's get in Thursday night service. Let's get in some soul winning. Let's get in Sunday morning and Sunday night. Let's get in prayer meeting at 5 o'clock on Sunday night. Let's get there. Let's get that in too. Let's get deeper. Deeper in God. And so they got away from the shore. And what happened there? Jesus said, why don't you launch out, okay? He said, put that net down for a draught. He said, I'm going to do something amazing. And when we want to go deeper in God, God does something amazing in our lives. God does something that we don't even imagine. The Bible says that he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think or even imagine. God can do something great if we just go deeper in him. And what did Peter say? He said, oh, Lord, I've been toiling all night. Me and Andrew and James and John, we're toiling all night. We didn't take up anything. I've been working. I've been trying to live my life. I've been trying to do things right. Nothing's changed, Lord. What happens? We come to the house of God and we hear that message there, and it comes time for altar call, and we say, you know what? I'm going to try this again. I'm going to do this again. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to try it again. Jesus said, cast that net. Another time he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship. We do it right this time. And so he said, nevertheless, Lord, I will put down the net. And all these fish came in. And what happened? Well, he called for the other boat. But the Bible says, when you read it there, Jesus was right there with them. They weren't just doing it all themselves. Jesus was there pulling the nets. Jesus was there doing the work. Jesus is there. We're not doing this thing by ourselves. Jesus is there with us. He's working with us, in us, through us. And what did he say? What did Peter say? He said, depart from me. He was so surprised. He said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And Jesus gave him a new commission. He said, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So he made his confession. And Jesus gave him a new commission. And he said, from here on, you're going to catch men. And immediately, they dropped everything that they had. They got back over to that shore. They dropped it all, and they followed after Jesus. There's something about Jesus, something about that message, something about him, how he draws us closer to him. There's something about Christ that we've got to follow him, that he's got the Father in him. He's showing us the miracles. He's showing us his word. He can cleanse us and do something in our lives. No wonder they dropped everything and followed after him. They saw something in him that was not like any other man. They saw the Father in that one called Jesus. So now he's a fisher of men. We see in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, where did this come about? They saw the boldness of Peter and John. They saw him as he was out there, and they had healed the man that was lame in Acts chapter 3, and they didn't heal him. They just went out there with the message there as they saw the man laying by the gate called Beautiful. And they came up to him as he was out there asking alms. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. Such as I have, we've got something to give to the world. We've got something to give to St. Louis. We've got something to give out to these people. We've got something that God wants to do in their lives. We had somebody drive from an hour away this morning to come to the house of God. God's got something for people. God's got salvation for them. God wants to salvage and reclaim the lives that have been messed up by Satan. Got something for them. But there is, as they began to do those great things, and as they reached out by faith and they picked that man up, and then he was lame from his feet there, and he began to walk and leap and praise God. The religious rulers got all upset. They got all in a tizzy. They got in an uproar. Hey, what's going on here? Say, how did you do this? So we end up in Acts chapter 4, and they said, by what power did you make this man to walk? How have you done this? What is it that you've done to make this man to be able to do this? And the Bible says that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. That Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. This was the purpose of Jesus Christ, for Peter to get the Holy Ghost. And he kept on calling him. He kept on calling him from Simon to Peter. He kept on calling him. The gospel shows that event time and time again. And until he got the Holy Ghost, and then he was rock solid from then on. That's the purpose. We want you to continue to go on until you get the Holy Ghost. We want you to continue to pray and to seek him so that you can be rock solid as well. He wasn't just an ignorant fisherman. They said there, who is these men here? We perceive that they are unlearned and ignorant. This word ignorant in the Greek is not just some idiot, somebody who doesn't know the right hand from the left, and they can't add 2 plus 2 to be 5. It's 4, 2 plus 2. Before. But this is a person who does not hold a religious office. Someone who is unlettered. Someone, as Pastor was teaching about there in the Bible study, about how they said about Jesus, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And as they asked there, by what power have you done this? And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, does this man stand before you whole? Anytime you see a life that's been changed, anytime you see someone off of drugs, off of alcohol, anytime you see a change that seems like it was overnight by the power of Jesus Christ and in his name, does this person stand before you whole? It's all by him and what he can do in your life. Amen. And so as they began to look, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And they remembered that Peter had been in the temple with Jesus. They remembered that all those times when Peter was there, that they had looked and they saw Jesus and they saw Peter and they saw John there when Jesus was teaching in the temple. At the times when Jesus was out there breaking the bread and as he was out there feeding the multitude, Peter and John were there. As the miracles were taking place, Peter and John were there. They remembered that over and over and over again. And they thought back and they said, these men have been with Jesus. That's the difference in their lives. These men have been with Jesus. And there's some people, you get around certain people, and all that happens is that you get in trouble. Amen? All right? There's some people, they just like to stir up trouble, up to no good all the time. And so I had a friend like that when I was in high school. Every time me and my buddy, we got together, we'd go out and we'd cause all kinds of trouble, all kinds of trouble. I remember one time we were out throwing rocks at people's houses, at their windows. I remember that. We would go out there, we'd go buy some toilet paper, we'd be out there TPing people's houses. One time the police were out there, and they said, hey, what are you doing on this side of town? You're not supposed to be over here. And then we ran away. So all we ever did was get in trouble. So I had to stay away from him. Eventually, I had to get away from him. Unless I wanted to live a life where I was always getting into trouble, where I was always having the police wondering where I was, I had to get away from him. And so the same thing, who have you been with? Have you been with Jesus? Have you gone to him? When you come to Jesus and you've been with him and you spend time and you pray and you seek him, things start to change. We need some new friends to be around. We need some people in church that want to be in church, that want to do something with their lives, something good, something positive, something that say, I'm on my way to heaven, come with me. Those are real friends, amen. It's friends that we need, all right. And so here we are. Here we are, this Peter, he had been with Jesus. But we see there, if we go back, we're talking about the new chapter in Peter's life. We go back and he got that new name. He got that new job. He got that new commission. But then he needed that new chapter for. We know, we understand that Peter failed. That Peter failed. We know the highlights of his life. We know that when Jesus was out there and he was talking to the disciples and he asked them, whom say ye that I am? Peter, he was the one that stood up and he talked for everybody. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so he did that right. He spoke that right. But then after that, he said, I will never deny you. I would die before I deny you. And we know that he did that. We know that that happened. But that wasn't the end of the story. That was only the beginning of his story. And as we said, we all have chapters in our lives that we wish we could erase. We all have these things in our lives that we wish we could just wipe away, that we wish just never happened. But with Peter, as we said, it just kept on going. Because 3 days later, Jesus Christ would rise from the dead. He would have another chance at life. Jesus would restore him. And he would go back and say, you don't have to live that last chapter over again. The devil may try to bring that last chapter up over and over in your mind. You don't have to go back and live that chapter again. The page can be turn. You can turn that page. You can live different. You can go forward and I can write something better for you. Jesus wrote something better for him. He tried to go back. He tried to go back in John 21. He tried to go back and live something else. He said, I go a fishing. He said, oh, well, Jesus was crucified. He's in the tomb. And sometimes those things happen when you fail. When you fail, you look and you say, well, maybe I should just go back and do what I used to do. Maybe I should go back and just try to, you know, just go back to the world. I mean, I already messed up, and I messed up before everybody else and the pastor, and somebody else saw me. And maybe I should just go back. And Peter thought the same thing. He said, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back fishing, guys. And a few of them said, we also go with thee. So Peter was still a leader. He was leading people back into that last way. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants you to go back to the last chapter. He wants you to go back. But what happened? Jesus was out there on the shore. Jesus was on that shore, and he called out, and Peter heard that voice again. He heard that voice again, and it got stirred up in him again. He said, it's the master again. He's calling for me again. He wants me to come back to him. He wants me to come back and to do the job again. And so he went back. He got the call restored again. He got his life back in order again. He got things right again. God had restored him and put him back in the place where he should have been. And God can do the same for us. Does the same thing for us. So then we end up in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost. And there they were. Peter was there. And before that, he got a special invitation from the master that he needed to be in that place where he was going to be. He said, tell my disciples and Peter. I want Peter to know that I want him to be in the place where he should be. He said, I don't want him to be left out. I don't want him to think just because he messed up that I don't want him anymore. I still need him. I'm still working on him. I've got one more thing to do in his life. I need him to get over there to that upper room. The Bible says they were all in one accord in one place. There wasn't one person that was in there that was unmotivated, that was uninterested. They were waiting for the promise to come. They were waiting for the Holy Ghost to come. They were there all in one accord in one place, and suddenly, the Bible said that it burst in there upon them. Suddenly, there came the sound of a rushing mighty wind. It was like a freight train. When we were out there in Indianapolis, there was a tornado that came place. And one of the sisters that was in her house when the tornado came, she went and hid in a closet that was under some stairs. And she said it sounded like a freight train was coming right towards her house. And so imagine that, this rushing mighty wind that was coming towards the upper room. I bet everybody heard it. They all heard it out there in Jerusalem. It said, suddenly there came that rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And that's when Peter finally got that change that he absolutely needed. And I'm closing here. But you need that change as well. Do you need that change? Do you need to come and to get that and stop being so flaky? Stop being so leafy. And do you need to come and be rock solid in God? Then you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to be baptized. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need that promise from God. You need that power from on high. You need that fire to come down and start burning within you. In the Old Testament, there at Mount Sinai, when God wanted to validate his word, he sent down fire. And God, when he validates his word for the Christian, when he validates his word for someone that needs to be filled with the Spirit, he sends down fire. He validates his word. He makes it rock solid. And that's what we need right now, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Why don't you come? Why don't we come and get what you need from God as Pastor comes?